The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to turn our attention to these really worrying statistics released today, revealing there's been a 12% increase in the number of hate crimes and hate-related incidents reported to Gardaí over the last year. The most commonly recorded motives were anti-race, anti-nationality, anti-sexual orientation. Joining me now is Padraig Rice. He's Policy and Research Manager with LGBT Ireland, and Leon Diop, who's the founder of Black and Irish. You're both very welcome, gentlemen. Padraig, are you anyway surprised by these figures?
Unfortunately not, Kieran. I think the stats reflect the kind of lived reality of LGBTQ people in Ireland. Unfortunately, the community has witnessed a continuous rise in hate crime. And we've seen this over the last number of years. And as you said, it was a 12% increase this year and a 29% increase the year before. So year on year, we're seeing this rise in recorded hate crimes. And it's really worrying. And it really needs a robust response. And we really need to see government responding to these the statistics from the Gardaí, and in particular recalling for them to enact the Criminal Justice Incitement to Violence or Hatred and Hate Offences Bill as a matter of urgency. Look, we can't let this linger any longer. We need the government to now respond to the stats that have been released by An Garda Síochána today.
So we might come back to the bill in just a moment and what kind of you hope it would do. But in terms of the increase, is there any kind of commonality in terms of experience? Do they tend to happen at night in certain areas? Is there kind of a commonality amongst perpetrators? Is there a complete kind of smorgasbord of experience?
So what we know from our own community is the stories that are reported by Gay Community News, and almost every month there's a story reported, and they're different experiences, and it affects all parts of the community: lesbian couples, gay men, trans people, and the experiences differ. But what we do see is homophobia and transphobia, and then often followed by violence or criminal damage or another attack. And has a huge impact on people, and not just the individuals, it has an impact on the entire community. It has this kind of ripple effect. It sends out a signal to the entire community that we're all unsafe simply because of who we are. And that's what makes hate crime so worrying, is that wider impact they're having on the entire community. But we've seen cases of, yeah, we've seen people, there was a reported case of a lesbian couple at a bus shelter, and a man came up and hurled homophobic abuse and then attacked them. Yeah, so we've seen cases like this and other similar cases where people are being physically attacked, and the couple in another case reported being left with physical scars and emotional scars because of both the homophobia as well as the physical assault that comes with it.
Why is it increasing, do you suspect?
I think there are a number of factors. I think there's been more division and more hate being sowed in our society. I think we're seeing a lot of that online. I think we're seeing a lot of online hate being stoked up right around the world, but we're seeing that in Ireland as well. And we're seeing some of that, I think, spill over into real life. I think that's one. I think social media has a big problem here. And that's one of the reasons. The other thing is we have a legacy of homophobia and transphobia in our society, and it hasn't gone away. We've had these issues for a long time. Like, it was a crime to be gay until 1993, and that's within our lifetime. And that leads a long legacy. So there are kind of the historical issues and that architecture of homophobia.
Yeah, I don't know about particular incidents, and I'm sure there's exceptions to prove the rule, but one would suspect that most of the people kind of who are perpetrating these hate crimes, particularly ones that are happening at night and with this alcohol or drugs involved, probably have very few memories of a pre-1993 world.
Yeah, they do. But some of that homophobia lingers and is stoked up and it continues. And we've made a lot of progress. But I think that over time has a lingering effect in our society. And we do need to tackle that with education, with the resources, and being able to have kind of frank discussions around gender and sexuality, and help a wider understanding within society, and try to tackle that at an educational level.
Well, stay with us. I want to introduce Leon Diop, who I mentioned, who's the founder of Black and Irish and is with us as well. Leon, were you in any way surprised by these figures, or kind of depressingly, like Padraig, were you expecting them to go up?
Good afternoon, Kieran. Thanks so much for having me on. I wasn't shocked by the figures. They are shocking, but I definitely wasn't shocked. I think it's a reflection of what we're seeing on the ground and what we're hearing from our community. It's being reflected in the the reports that are being released, such as the reports today, as well as the Fundamental Rights Agency report that was released last year. So unfortunately, no, it's not coming as a surprise to me.
What do you put the increase down to, Leon?
Well, I think there's a couple of things at play here. I don't think it's as clear cut as you know people like to make it out to be. It is quite complex. I will try and be concise. I do think that often when we're trying to address racism, we're hacking at the leaders rather than pulling at the root. So we're condemning people who are using racial slurs or attacking people or are engaging in covert forms of racism, whereas really the roots of racism go deep in our society. I think the primary root at the moment is that we do have a far-right, I suppose, section in Ireland who is perpetuating racism and who is encouraging other Irish people to engage in racist behaviour. I do think that we have legacy issues as well around racism, and more so legacy in that there may be racist members of families who are passing on that baton of racism to their kids. And now we have young people going out engaging in racist behaviour. So that would be, I suppose, my thoughts on where it's coming from. But there are some things that we can do to begin to unwind it.
What can we do?
Well, I think we as I said, we can identify it. We can, for me, prevention is better than cure. We need to be addressing the issue of racism with people from a younger age, working with schools. We have seen an increase in the amount of schools who are contacting us because they're seeing incidents or issues in their schools. So I think addressing it with young people, having the conversation, talking about what racism is and how it can arise, talking about the impact of racism as well, because that's something that I don't think is highlighted enough. The impact of racism is huge on the individual, and I don't think it's being addressed properly by the criminal justice system. So speaking with younger people, talking about racism, talking about how it can present itself, talking about how we can cope with it and deal with it. And then also, I think, with communities as well, we need to build integration into our communities and making sure that when new people are coming to our communities, that we're helping them to integrate. There's a couple of things that can help with that as well, such as early communication when new people will be coming to the community, to give a community time to prepare, to let the community know that they're not going to be left behind and that the services are going to be impacted and affected. And then, you know, if all of that fails, if we can't get the preventative measures in place, we do need the cure. And the cure is that we appropriately address racism, and that it's met with, I suppose, the force that racism has, and that is through punishment.
Is that too rare an occurrence in this country that it's dealt with in a serious manner?
I think so. I think there's been two incidents that I've seen. One where there was a man hurling racist abuse at children outside a Garda station, and he was given a 10-week jail sentence. Whereas those kids will remember that incident for the rest of their lives. Mm. And that man, by July, he'll be out, and we'll be able to, continue on. But I, for example, remember pretty much every incident of racism that I've ever encountered to a very high detail, because it has a lot of impact on you. There was another incident that was discussed earlier by the Chief Superintendent for Community Policing, Padraig Jones, where he was talking about a woman who was hurling racist abuse at a shop security guard, I believe, and then spat on him and was issued a €100 fine. That is not enough of a deterrent to stop people from engaging in racism. If someone was to hit me with a fine for €100 right now, I'd take it out and give it. But is that going to change my mindset? Is that going to change my attitudes and behaviours? I don't think so. So these are some of the things that I think we need to start doing better in order to challenge racism in our society.
Sorry, could I ask you just about your own personal experience? Because you mentioned it there by way of passing that you would remember every incident. In what detail do you remember it? And beyond just the kind of the mere fact that the memory existing, in what way does it still affect you?
Well, sure. So in 2008, on the 20th of October, I was walking with friends. One of my friends had his phone stolen by a couple of guys who were a lot older than us. I said that we needed to leave, so we started walking away. And then two of the guys came back and started attacking my friend. I then tried to intervene. And I was 14 or 15 at the time, and these guys were definitely in their mid-20s. And the two of them turned to me, and two more of their friends joined in. So I was badly beaten by four guys who began chanting racial slurs while they were doing it. Now, I can remember every single... Obviously, I don't have the bumps and bruises or the cuts, you know, or the sore nose anymore, but I can remember the words that they were saying. I can remember the N-word being used. I can remember being called all sorts, you know. That still lingers in my mind as I go to move through areas at nighttime. As I'm not going to lie to you, I'm quite a big guy. I feel like I can take care of myself now, but still it stays with you, you know. So
yeah,
that is the same for most people who encounter racism. It can pop up out of nowhere, it can be just around the corner, and unfortunately it can stay with you for a really, really long time. So we need to address the impact of racism and make sure that when people do engage in this behaviour, that they're appropriately being dealt with.
Padraig Rice is still with us from LGBT Ireland. Padraig, you mentioned the hate crime legislation. Now, I don't want to kind of get lost in the weeds of the culture wars, because that's what that's become subject to. But in terms of like its effect, one of the arguments made against it is that the people who are perpetrating these acts, they're not stopping and thinking about legislation. That really what we actually need is is much stricter enforcement. It's more CCTV in the streets. It's more Gardaí in the streets. It's more severe punishment when people are caught. You know, in what way do you suspect the legislation will improve things?
So it's not one or the other. We need both. Ireland is an outlier in Europe in not having hate crime legislation. We're one of the few European countries that don't have hate crime legislation. And what's lacking is that the stats released by the Gardaí today, there's no legislative underpinning around hate crime within the state. So the Gardaí have moved ahead and they've started recording it and they started monitoring it and they're putting it into Pulse. But that's not underpinned by legislation because the Dáil has failed to act and the Oireachtas has failed to act. So what we need is the bill passed so that we can have a consistent approach to how the criminal justice system deals with hate and hate motivation and hate motivated crime and people from our communities who are attacked on the streets simply for being who they are. And what we need is bravery from political actors and the senators who are holding up the bill to stop and to pass legislation and get it enacted and get it done before the summer. But as you say, beyond that, this has to be the beginning of a process. The bill isn't the end of the process. It's the start of the process. And beyond that, there is so much more that needs to be done. To start with, we need training for everybody in the criminal justice system around how they track hate crimes, how they deal with it, how they prosecute these cases. We need more community Gardaí to build up trust with affected communities so that there is a trust between our communities and the Gardaí. Better victim support. Like in the north, they have a far better wraparound victim support service so that the victims are given a kind of holistic support. We need national awareness campaigns. We don't see government-funded national awareness campaigns around hate crimes, around these issues, and they should be doing this. They need to get tougher with social media companies who allow online anti-LGBT hate and rhetoric to fly on their platforms.
Yeah.
But like, there's so much we can do to get to the root cause of this and to address this. But we also do need a criminal justice response as well. And these stats can't be allowed to continue. We can't allow our society to have increased levels of hate crime and nothing to be done about it. That's just simply not acceptable.
Well, lest people think it is something that only happens maybe late at night, fueled by drink or drugs. Mick says, my wife was born in India and was racially abused and physically threatened in a cafe right in the middle of Blessington in front of our two small children. That is the stark reality of it. Mick, thank you for the text. Thank you as well to Padraig Rice, Policy and Research Manager with LGBT Ireland, and Leon Diop, the founder of Black and Irish. Gentlemen, thank you both.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.